Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Max Wood, and this week we're going to be talking to Igor Sisoyev and Andrew Alexeyev of the Nginx company in Russia. Igor is the guy who has been behind the Nginx project for the last 9 years, and we talked about a lot of things related to Nginx, how it got started, what's involved, the kinds of things that they're looking to do in the future, and it was a really interesting conversation, so I'm happy to put this on. There was a little bit of background noise that I couldn't filter out, so I have to apologize for that. Before we get started, I do want to mention one thing, and that is this podcast is sponsored by a New Relic. New Relic is an application management tool that's out there for you to run online, and it'll tell you where things are slowing down, where things are breaking down, and give you a good idea of what's going on in your project. So by all means, go check them out at newrelic.com. Finally, I do want to mention one other thing, and that is that we did get the survey up. You can go to teachmetocode.com/survey. It's just like 4 or 5 questions that really give me an idea of who is out there in the audience. I've also been getting a lot of emails and tweets, and it's really nice to be able to connect to people who are listening to the podcast and involved. So by all means, if you have any questions about Ruby or Rails, or if you just want to let me know that you're listening, I really appreciate the feedback, and you can do that at chuck@teachmetocode.com. I'm going to turn the interview on, and I'll catch you guys on the other side. Thanks for listening. Hey, everybody. This is Charles Max Wood with the Teach Me to Code podcast, and this week I have Andrew and Igor, who work on Nginx. And so I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves, and then we'll get into the interview.
Thanks, Chuck. Hello, my name is Andrew, and I'm co-founder of Nginx company. And we are aiming at improving things around Nginx open source project, as well as doing some additional services. So I have quite a background, which ranges from working in enterprise and telco companies, and I'm focusing on business development side for Nginx. So that's about all, I think. Igor?
My name is Igor Sisoyev. I worked for a long time as senior system administrator at Rambler, and I am author of Nginx. I started to develop Nginx in 2002, and now it's about 9 years of development of this project.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, it seems like some open source projects tend to last that long, and some just, you know, they don't, you know, they get hot for a few years and then that's it. So it's really impressive that you have a project like that that's been around for so long. Now, back in 2002, I was actually a systems administrator, and we used Apache quite a bit. What prompted you to create Nginx?
The first thoughts to create such server appeared in somewhere in 2001. At those times, there was no open source server that can proxy event-driven proxy, event-driven servers that can proxy to other servers. There were several servers such like Tiny, HTTPD, Boa, Mathopt, but they can only handle static content. Apache at this time was very poor scalable, and Apache version 2 was in development, and there was no working solution to handle sites with 1,000 connections. So I decided to write such server.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's amazing. So is it written in C or is it written in another language?
In C.
Okay. And so was there anything that you were using before or did you build this specifically for this project that you were working on?
Sorry, I don't quite understand. Did I use...
What did you use before Nginx?
At Job, we used Apache, and even before I have written Nginx, we used Apache together with Nginx. Apache became backend, and Nginx became frontend.
Oh, okay.
So we, for a long time, and for now, we many companies used Nginx together with Apache. Actually, I never was a fan of FastCGI protocol. It even appeared in Nginx about half year after public release of Nginx. It was not in initial plans.
What didn't you like about FastCGI?
I think that FastCGI is more complex protocol than HTTP, and at this time in 2002-2003 year, FastCGI was very unusual protocol. Also, it was introduced in 1997 or 98 or maybe even early, but FastCGI has no wide presence in web. I think that second burn of FastCGI protocol was linked I don't know English word with appearance of HTTPD. This server used FastCGI to run PHP, and I think that many system administrators start to use PHP with light HTTPD, and FastCGI protocol had the second burn.
Okay. So I'm a little curious. It seems like Nginx has come quite a long way since then. What are the differences now between Apache and Nginx?
Nginx and the main difference is architecture. Nginx use event-driven architecture where one single thread process handle many connections at the same time. It may handle 10,000 connections simultaneously. Apache uses one process or one thread per connection. This is the main difference, and Apache model has has own advantage and have advantage and minuses, and Nginx model has pluses and minuses too.
Okay, so then what are the trade-offs between using Apache and using Nginx? What does Nginx do well that Apache doesn't?
Nginx is better for handling static files. It's better for handling many slow connections. It's better for proxying many connections to other servers to proxy using FastCGI to many backends. The current architecture of Nginx doesn't allow to run some embedded interpreter, some embedded language inside the server. if script using this language will do some blocking operations, then the whole Nginx process will be blocked too. In Apache, since each connection handled by own process or own thread, the blocking of the thread of this process doesn't affect other connections. This is advantage of Apache. However, if this architecture requires more memory or more CPU per connection, Nginx can handle 1,000 connections and using about several megabytes of memory, while Apache requires tens or even hundreds of megabytes for about 20 or 200 or 300 kilobytes per connection. If you have 1,000 connections, you can count the size of the processes.
Oh wow!
Yeah, just to summarize, Apache is a great product and has many flexible features. But Nginx is really shining at the front end part, so it can handle many thousands or even dozens of thousands of concurrent connections very efficiently, consuming very little memory and using CPU efficiently. But the drawback is that you currently are not getting many of those elaborate features that Apache offers. If you use Nginx as a web server, you can use it for static content, say for HTML, for images, for CSS, things like that, and also bundle it with some FastCGI connections and scripting. But it mostly shines at the front end part, and this is the niche that Nginx currently occupies.
All right.
I have idea how to embed languages inside Nginx, but I think it will be available in next version 2. In this case, Nginx will allow to use blocking operations in this script. But I think I can implement it efficiently, and this will be more efficient than Apache.
So in other words, we have plans to implement functionality for Nginx in the next few months, but this will be kind of a major rewrite of the architecture, so it's a bit of work to do in regards to make it more convenient to use as a drop-in replacement for Apache or as an upgrade for Apache, like that.
I do not think that will be drop-in replacement, but it will be more comparable with Apache features.
More convenient, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So are there any other upcoming features in Nginx that besides that one?
We are thinking of supporting some compatibility with HTXS files, but it's in considerations now, so we are thinking it over how to do that efficiently, because there are certain drawbacks of introducing the full compatibility with HTXS, for instance. We are actually considering a lot of features to implement, and we are quickly filling up our roadmap for the next year. But it's maybe a bit too premature to talk about that.
Okay. So what is the process for adding features to Nginx?
It's coding.
No, I mean as far as deciding which features go into Nginx. How do you decide which ones go in and which ones don't?
Well, we actually listen to the community mostly. So we analyze all kind of requests from people who use Nginx. We discuss it both publicly and privately whenever we can. So if someone from our listeners has some useful suggestions, please don't hesitate to send those to us.
Huh. Okay. Sounds good. Sounds like most other open source projects where they kind of get a feel for what the community wants and then discuss it amongst themselves and figure out which features make sense to put in, either due to the amount of work or the amount of demand for that feature.
Right. There is also an important question of prioritization, because we are quite limited in resources currently. So we have to carefully weigh it, how to prioritize this or that feature and how to add it to the roadmap.
Mm-hmm. How many developers do you have working on Nginx?
I think I got a answer.
For a long time, I was the single main developer. There were several contributor of patches, and one of the active contributors is Maxim Dunyan. Currently in our company, only two developers, me and Maxim. And there is several developers that develop third-party modules. I didn't count them, but I think it's about 10 men.
Huh. That's pretty impressive.
That's about third party modules, because the core version has been developed by Igor solely, and then we added Maxim Dunyan to the team.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder then, what is the biggest challenge, or what's the hardest part of building a web server?
Andrey, переведи. Sorry, in Russian.
Yeah, sorry, we'll talk a bit in Russian.
Okay.
Какая наиболее сложная часть при написании
вебхера? Well, I didn't understand quite the challenge word. Well, the main part, the difficult part, actually, a web server is the simple web server is very simple program. You can write it in 2 days, but the different part is the difficult part is a flexible think flexible configuration to think the module architecture to allow add functionality. I think that the main difficult part to create production level software.
Mm-hmm.
This is the main difficult, because if you need just proof of concept, it may be a very simple program.
So it can be also probably very efficient, but it would be just a concept, and if you have to make it into the production, like production ready software, it would take a significant amount of time to polish all the features and functionality and the core elements and the architecture, and to make it very efficient and compact and fast and scalable. Yeah.
Yes, I think the main difficult part is make it efficient, flexible, flexible to make flexible configuration, make scalable server. Yes, this is a different part.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. But, you know, it really does sound like an interesting project. And I know that a lot of people in the Ruby and Rails community especially have really latched onto Nginx and use it as their primary web server, either to serve things directly using Fusion Passenger or to proxy another server like Unicorn or something like that. So, you know, it's always interesting to hear about these technologies and hear about where they came from and talk to the people behind them. So I don't know that I have any more questions. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about Nginx before we wrap this up?
Like what?
Well, one thing that just popped into my head is that it seems like you guys have formed a company around Nginx.
Yeah, that's probably an important question, and we tried to reflect that in our public message. So for a long time, Igor worked at Rambler, and he has written Nginx being an employee at Rambler. And Rambler and other Russian companies use Nginx heavily. Actually, we have like 51% of Russian websites using Nginx, and this is 51% out of 4 million websites in Russia. So Igor eventually decided that he just can't go alone with it anymore. So he decided he would step out of Rambler and form his own company. And this is what we have done. So we are in the process of finalizing the company structure. And our main goal is to make the project even better and to develop it. And to improve things greatly for the community, we will be working on the documentation and the roadmap and new features. And we have already integrated a lot of pending bug fixes and patches and things like that. So our main goal is to improve things for the community.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. How do you intend to support the company?
Well, that's an interesting question, because so far any and all funding has been from our own resources. But well, it's like that. Eventually, we would introduce some services, hopefully, to back up the operations of the company. Probably, we would consider some form of donations too. That is all I can talk about now.
Okay. I was going to point out that if you're running on your own resources, it seems like a lot of people are using Nginx and could probably give donations. What's the best way to do that?
Well, there's a link on Igor's page for donations. We will probably be reworking it into some more convenient form.
Okay.
So far it's on the web page.
And what's the URL for that page?
No, this is my site.
S-Y-S. O-E-V. Yeah.
SYSOEV.RU.
Yeah,
I can post it in. No, do you see it?
Yep, I got a link. Mm-hmm. So just to clarify, and we'll put a link in the show notes, it's SYSOEV.RU/EN/donation.html. And this really is a solid project and something that, you know, if you're out there serving web pages and you're looking for something solid to serve this up, then Nginx is a good way to go, and I'm sure they'd appreciate any help that you can give them.
We will. Yeah. Because we do hope that with the company we will be able to back the community with the project and make it even better.
Yep. Yeah, there are a lot of community-backed open-source projects out there that run almost completely on donations, and it's always impressive to see how much they're able to accomplish when they don't have to worry quite as much about supporting themselves, because the community kind of holds them up and lets them do their work. And anyway, I've seen some just amazing things done with Nginx, some impressive traffic levels managed and handled by Nginx. And so I wanted to just bring you guys on and talk to you for a minute and find out what it was about and how it got going. So thank you for coming on to the podcast. I should have this interview up on Thursday or Friday. And we will we'll see what people are interested in. If people have more questions that you'd like me to ask Andrew or Igor, then by all means leave a comment on the show notes, and maybe we'll bring them back on and ask them a few more questions. All right, we're back. I just want to thank Igor and Andrew again for coming onto the show, for sharing their expertise and opinions. And, you know, it's always interesting to get these kinds of interviews and these kinds of people on, because I definitely learned some things about Apache and Nginx and just how they work and what's there, as well as where things are going in the future is kind of interesting. So I just want to thank them again for coming onto the podcast and recognize their effort on a project like this. If you have any questions for me or for them, go to the podcast. It's teachmetocode.com and leave a comment on the podcast episode. If you have any questions about Ruby or Rails, you can email me at chuck@teachmetocode.com or you can call me at 801-367-6164. I am a freelance developer, so if you have any questions or you have a project that you need help with, then I'll do that too. So anyway, those are the best ways to reach me. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm on Twitter at cmaxw. And anyway, that's about all I've got. So I will catch you next week. Thanks.